You're listening to the MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update Podcast.
This segment is brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. And we're taking a look at some global developments. We understand, obviously, that with the world that we live in, things that happen around the world tend to have an impact on local developments. I'm joined on the line by Allan Gray's portfolio manager, Rory Kutiska-Jacobson, to take a look at some global news. Good evening, Rory. Lovely to speak to you again. It's been quite a while. Let's look at where we stand globally. I think it's a good starting point for our conversation. A lot has been happening in the last couple of months, but a lot is still to come before the end of the year.
Hi, good evening, Jimmy. You're absolutely right. A lot has happened, and I guess what's unusual about this year is an unprecedented number of countries going to election at the same time. So I think this is the largest year in terms of the number of countries and the percentage of the global population voting in some form of a democratic election this year. And the other interesting thing is, I guess, we've seen, unfortunately, almost a polarization in views across a number of markets, where the moderate middle has almost disappeared and the choices presented to democracies are very much kind of skewing increasingly so towards the far left or the far right.
Rory, when we look at these global developments, obviously there are different markets and different markets kind of play a different role or have a different impact on developments. So, for example, something that's happening in the US might have a stronger impact on global markets than something perhaps happening in Russia. Well, Russia's a bad example because that's going through quite a bit. But when we look at all of these geopolitical events and what's happening in the world, investing becomes harder because something that happens in Russia or in the Russia-Ukraine war can be easily affected by something else around the world on the opposite end. How do we understand that? How do we understand the dynamics of the inter-global play?
It's not easy, and I would say it's not getting easier. So I think geopolitical tension has certainly escalated over the last 5 or 10 years. And if you look at kind of the rhetoric coming out of the US, what's happening in the Middle East, what's happening in Russia and Ukraine, the rhetoric coming out of China, it's likely to increase. What I find very interesting, though, I mean, and I look at this probably through the lens of emerging markets or frontier markets, is often there's an impact from an investment perspective in two ways. One is the impact on sentiment. So, you know, when geopolitical tension is heightened, is it a positive or negative impact on sentiment? And then also the impact on the economy. And what I find interesting is often the two don't go hand in hand. So there can be situations where impact on sentiment is negative, but the actual impact on the underlying economy can be quite positive. And I think a great example is if you look at, I guess you mentioned it, but if you look at what happened in Russia and Ukraine, immediately after Russia invaded Ukraine, it obviously had a hugely negative sentiment on Russian equities and Ukrainian equities, but it also had a massively negative impact on a number of other Eastern European and kind of Eurasian stocks that border those two countries. And so a great example is a country like Georgia, just south of Russia. It shares a border with Russia. The large kind of shares in Georgia sold off materially when that happened. And I think people were obviously concerned about the knock-on impact that the war might have on that economy. Funnily enough, what actually happened in Georgia is a huge number of Ukrainians and Russians relocated to Georgia to escape the war, and a lot of trade was redirected out of those two economies into Georgia, and Georgia, being quite a small economy, actually disproportionately benefited from that. So not that you ever want to be a benefactor of war, but here was a situation where the shares sold off sharply, but the underlying economy actually did very well over the subsequent 2.5 years.
It sounds like this creates a lot more risk. When we look at geopolitical events and global events, I'm hearing that risk becomes that much more important. How do we balance that risk, especially when we think about portfolios and striking a good portfolio balance? So I have a portfolio that's international, or I have a portfolio that's locally based. How do I then review that and say the risk that is sitting outside of my country could potentially weigh in on my own portfolio, and what decisions do I make when I pick stocks?
That's a good question. And I think the one thing I want to stress is when it comes to investing, you cannot avoid risk. And so I guess the more pertinent question is, am I being adequately compensated for the risks that I'm taking by a sufficiently discounted price? And I think that's really important. That's what people often miss out on. So we actually almost look to often capitalize on some of these events where sentiment turns extremely negative because there's a risk that's now front and center in someone's mind. What often tends to happen is people then get very negative on that market or the one or two particular stocks, and they get sold off aggressively. And often you can then find kind of real bargains where even if that risk materializes, the price is sold off so sharply that you've been more than compensated for taking that risk. And if for whatever reason it's slightly better than what people are pricing in, then you can do extremely well.
Rory, yeah. When we look at something like that from a risk and a payoff point of view, I had a conversation a little earlier on with David Shapiro, and he wasn't too keen on something like the platinum counters that we have in South Africa, obviously with all the geopolitical conversations happening around the PGM and EV space. Is that one of those situations where if you haven't been badly burnt up to this point, you could take on a minimal portion of risk for a potentially bigger output in the long term?
Yes. I mean, the one, I guess, longer-term issue with platinum group metals is there's a lot of uncertainty with respect to long-term demand and the speed at which electric vehicles might displace internal combustion engines. And historically, these have been very cyclical businesses, kind of swinging from bouts of making super profits to something more like the current environment where they're either break-even or loss-making. If history is any guide, the time to be buying platinum group metal companies are when earnings are depressed, when the PGM basket is depressed. So very similar to the current environment. So, I mean, certainly from our perspective, we're seeing quite a lot more value in the PGM space than we saw a year ago or 18 months ago. And we have started actually nibbling at one or two of the names.
Rory, before I let you go, I want to look at the risk, not from a market point of view, but from perhaps a region point of view. When we look at emerging markets, or we look at frontier markets, or we look at developed markets, there's obviously different levels of risk to price in, and there's a different level of risk to price into a market like the United States at the moment. Which markets at the moment are you finding that the risk kind of makes a lot of sense? And I think about South Africa as an example in that case, where we've gone through an election rather peacefully, and other countries still have to go through an election that might create more volatility.
So actually, I mean, if you ask me, I'm not going to exactly answer your question. The market, I think, if the risk isn't being adequately priced, which people probably don't appreciate that the risk isn't being fully priced, I would say is the USA. So, you know, if I'm an outsider and I look at the two candidates being put forward as potential president, I don't find either one particularly appealing. And if I look at kind of the tension in the US democratic system, it's much more divisive than it has been for some time. And yet, U.S. stocks are trading at record highs, where in contrast, a number of emerging markets, you know, have gone nowhere or down in dollar terms over the last decade. And people tend to focus far more on the geopolitical risk than the underlying quality of businesses and the price you're paying.
Very interesting perspective, especially on the U.S. I love to hear it. But we have run out of time. I think we'll have to leave the conversation there, Rory. We'll catch up again another time. Thanks so much for the insights. That's Rory Kutiska-Jacobson, Portfolio Manager at Allan Gray, on understanding geopolitical risks and how they could potentially affect your investment decisions. This segment was brought to you by Allan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Allan Gray is an authorized financial services provider.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb SAFM Market Update podcast, uploaded weekdays at 7 p.m. For more MoneyWeb podcasts, go to moneyweb.co.za or the app and follow MoneyWeb News for daily updates.